Welcome, Steve, in our program. I just told the listeners that you are one of the older artists, excuses for the word, but you're still making music. Don't you feel it as a sort of barrier?
Not at all. It was nice is that it's funny to think of myself as an older artist, too, because I still feel very much like I've just started yesterday, and I still feel very young, and I think I am. But I'm really happy these days because I'm touring and playing shows and seeing not just the audience that grew up with me, but also a lot of younger people coming out and discovering my new music and my old music for the first time. So it's not a barrier at all. I think, you know, I know that when I was starting to become a music fan, most of my heroes were much older. I was very fascinated by people like, whether it was Lou Reed or Alex Chilton or Iggy Pop or people like that who had been around for a long time and trying to learn their history. So there's always going to be, I think there will always be fans who just like whatever's new, but there's also always fans who want to find the music that's lasted the test of time.
How can you reach the younger people into your music?
I think that you don't even worry about that. I think really the best thing that you can do is just make the music you believe and then make the music you like and let everything else take care of itself. Any other thing will make you crazy. You know, I think if you sit down with your guitar and try to write a song to reach the young people or reach men, reach women, or to reach a million people or whatever, you try to do that and you're going to eventually just probably write bad songs and make yourself go crazy. I really, when I make a record, is try to make the best music I can, music that I like, that appeals to me, and then I let everything else take care of itself.
You start playing the guitar at a real young age, and you formed your own band at a real young age. You were so interested in music at that age already. You were 9?
I was even younger. I was a music fan from the time I was 4 or 5 years old, listening to records, listening to the radio. And when I was 9, yeah, I started playing guitar and writing songs and playing in bands at 9. I don't know how that happened. It's not, you know, it's not something that happens to everyone, but for some reason that happened in my life, and I'm glad it did. You know, it's because by the time I was making my first records 10 years later, I felt like I'd been doing this for a long time. And experience is a good thing. You know, when you have experience, you have more choices.
You've played in several bands, and the most well-known band is the Dream Syndicate. What was so special about your first album with the Dream Syndicate in, let's say?
1982.
Thank you. The Day the Wine of the Roses.
Well, I think that record came along at a time when most of the music, maybe all, kind of like now, on the radio was very produced, a lot of synthesizer bands at the time. There weren't a lot of bands that were very passionate and raw and spontaneous in 1982. And I think when the Dream Syndicate came along, we were playing a kind of music that a lot of people were waiting for but couldn't find anywhere, which is really the reason we started the band. We started the band because we weren't hearing the music we liked on the radio. So whatever inspired us also connected with other people too. Not everybody, but a lot of people.
There were also a lot of bands like, we talked it before, like Stranglers or the Ramones. So the Dream Syndicate can be something more than that.
These were my heroes when I was 17 or 18 years old. Bands like the Ramones and the Stranglers and Television and the Sex Pistols and the Clash. These are the bands that were amazing to me. The punk rock changed my life. When I you have to understand, I was, you know, a teenager, and you know, all the bands on the radio were things like Yes and ELP and these terrible bands, and suddenly punk rock came along and it just everything seemed possible. So the Dream Syndicate was coming out of that kind of freedom.
Your music is still inflected by those punk rock music, isn't it?
I think so. I don't think, you know, if you hear my records, there's some songs that have some of that feeling. I wouldn't say the music I make is punk rock, in that I don't think you're hearing, it doesn't sound like Green Day or Offspring, but I think that it has the attitude of punk, the attitude of there are no rules, that you know, the most important thing is to empty out all the feeling from inside you with all the power and extreme emotion you can and give it to the audience. I think that's, even when I'm playing a ballad, I think it's a very strong emotional feeling. For example, on the new record, there's a song called Good and Bad that I'm very happy with. It's a very slow, kind of a quiet song, but I think it's emotionally more powerful than any punk rock song. And so I don't think you know, I think that's what I took from punk rock more than anything, just the emotion, the energy, and the immediacy and spontaneity.
A lot of your songs sounds to me like critical, cynical maybe. Are you that cynical person?
I mean, as you can probably tell, I'm pretty, you know, happy and content and not cynical at all. I do find more fascination with darker sides of life, with darker characters. I think everybody has a dark side. Some people have it 90% of the time. Some people have it 5% of the time. But in my music, that's what I'm looking for, the side of people have that they're afraid to admit, that they don't want to show to everybody, that they wish would go away but can't go away, and that's what I look for. It's interesting. It's more exciting to me.
It's the other part of life.
I think it's the part of life that drives what we do. I think all of our dark side is what, you know, what dictates what we do, whether we like it or not. You know, and I'm not saying we're all devils, but I'm saying we always either are fighting against or giving into the dark side. And I think the struggle there is something that interests my music that I write about over and over and over.
Your new album is a double album. You haven't made it before, a double one. And you have made a whole lot of records in those last years.
Yeah, and I always wanted to make a double album. A lot of my favorite records in the past were double albums, things like Exile on Main Street by the Rolling Stones, or the White Album by the Beatles, or London Calling by the Clash, or Sign of the Times by Prince, or Daydream Nation by Sonic Youth. So many records that were my favorite records were double albums. And I always liked that style where a musician or a writer would go through so many different styles and emotions and sounds and everything in one record and end up with some resolution after all of that. I liked that kind of record, and I never made one, and this seemed like the right time. We finished the session in Tucson, Arizona, and when we were done, we listened to what we did, and just every song came out so well, and it all fit together so well. And like you say, after so many years of never making a double record, I figured, well, it's time. I've earned it.
Yeah, I guess. I told you before, you have made a lot of records. You said it too. Have you never had a time that you think, I quit. I don't want to do this anymore?
Never. And a lot of my friends have had that. I have a lot of friends who began when I began, and now they're through with music. They're raising a family. They have whatever, high-paying jobs, or they're living in the country, whatever. They gave it up, and, you know, it's a hard, some parts of it are hard because you're putting your emotions on the line regularly. That's a very vulnerable thing. And things like travel can be hard. But I love what I do. And every time I make a new record, I'm really excited by the challenge of how to take the music even further with each record. It's a challenge I never get tired of. If one day I hate it, or it's a burden, or I just dread going into the studio or on the road, I'll know. And when that happens, I'll quit. But right now, I love it more now than I did 20 years ago, because I feel like I have more ability and more ways of expressing myself now than I did 20 years ago. That's exciting.
But can you still make it? So many touring. You've been to the last few weeks, to France, to Greece, to Italy. Can you still make it?
You mean physically?
Yeah.
I feel fine. I have a good ability to get by on very little sleep. It can be hard sometimes. Anybody who's been on tour can tell you. You know, you live a pace that most people just can't do, and you live for 2 months. But again, and we were talking about it today. I was talking to Linda, my drummer. We were saying, man, this has been kind of a tough tour, and we're doing so well. And I think we're doing so well because we're really enjoying what we're doing. When we walk on stage every night, the music feels so good, and the audience responds so well, and everything feels right. I think that makes it easier to get by. If the shows are terrible, or the music is terrible, or the people hate each other, then a two-month tour feels like 2 years. But when it's going well, we're all sad it's going to end. We see the end coming, and we're kind of upset about it. We want this tour to go on for another 6 months.
Is this a reason why you don't have formed a real band, but just for this record, a band? Or is this Steve Wynn and the Miracle 3 who stick together for quite a long time?
I don't know, but I felt like the new record, I felt like Here Come the Miracles, was a very much a band-type record. My previous records were more like productions and had a lot of extra musicians. This record and this group of songs feels like a real rock band. Okay, it says my name on the front, but I feel when I'm playing this music, I'm really interacting with the people around me. I'm not just the boss telling people what to play. I'm part of a band. And so I wanted to have a band name this time to emphasize that. I hadn't done that before. I hadn't gone on tour and put a band name. And I just thought it was a way of emphasizing the idea that I'm not some folk singer or, you know, a singer-songwriter. On this record, at least, it's a definite rock band. You know, and a lot of people are comparing this tour and this record to the Dream Syndicate, which is natural because I was the writer and the singer in the Dream Syndicate. But I think this right now, what I'm doing has more similarity to what I did 10 years ago than anything I've done in a long time.
You've played with a lot of people, with Concrete Blonde's Jeanette and with Peter Buck from REM. How was that?
You know, it's funny. The two you mentioned and so many others, too. I mean, people that are pretty well known, like Vicky Peterson from the Bengals, or I'm forgetting all of them now. But a lot of people, and then a lot of other people who aren't so well known but are heroes to me, like I don't know, Tony Mamoni from Perubu, or Hal Gell from Giant Sand, or people like that. I'm a big fan of music, and I really, you know, I like playing with people whose work I admire. I also have a lot of friends who are very talented. When you talk about Peter Buck or Jeanette Napolitano, to me they're not the people from Concrete Blonde or REM. They're my friends. They're people I could call on the phone and talk about, you know, whatever, but life, you know, food, whatever.
Whatever and whatever. Can you tell us if you are starting some sort of cooperation with another star, let's say star?
Nothing planned right now. I haven't thought about the next record yet, so I don't know what the next step will be. It's hard to say. Very likely could be something, but I have no plan right now. Right now I'm so involved with this record and this tour that I haven't started to think beyond that. Soon I will.
It must be on your way, I guess. You have your own record company now. Is it because of musical freedom you want to get involved into a big record company?
Well, you know, I started my own label with the beginning of the Dream Syndicate. We put out our first record on my label, the same label, Down There Records. And I kept it going for most of the 80s. And after a while, it was too hard to do my own label. I mean, I tour so much, and I'm... you know, I felt like I wasn't being fair to the people on the label or even myself by being a label. Now, the label I was on in America went out of business last year, and I had to think about what I wanted to do. Did I want to find another label, a big one, a small one? You know, what was I looking for? How hard did I want to work? And the more I thought about it, the more I decided, look, I can do it myself. In this period right now with the internet and with the way the music audience is kind of broken into so many different categories and people seem to find the music they like, I think it's easier to have your own label. You can reach the people you need to reach much more easily than you could, say, 10 years ago. So it just seemed like a good time to do it. Freedom's never been a problem. I've never had a record label tell me what to do, which is surprising and fortunate. But it was more just because I felt like this is a good time to do it. It's a challenge. And maybe if it works, I can put out other bands I like also.
Sustain was your first single from this album. What more can we expect after Sustain?
I don't know. It's about time to figure that out, actually. There's a song on the album called Let's Leave It Like That that I like quite a bit, and one called Death Valley Rain. It'll be one of those two. Those are two I like quite a bit.
Yeah, the Death Valley Rain is a bit psychedelic song to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, a little psychedelic... driving through the desert song. I think of my songs, it's funny because I know one, I could say, well, this is a ballad or that's a rocker, but usually I think of my songs in terms of soundtrack. And I say, this is the driving through the desert song. I say, this is the, you know, the walking down the street late at night song. And this is the, you know, anything. I mean, that's how I think of the songs. And Death Valley Rain is the driving 7 p.m. Arizona song.
Yeah, I've never been to Arizona. Maybe I should do it with a Death Valley Rain. one last question. You've been touring in several countries the last few weeks. Do you have a favorite audience? Are audiences different in countries? Let's say Greece from France or France from Holland or something like that.
I guess they are. It's funny because, you know, there are... You can make some generalizations, you know, about different audiences, and some are more wild, some are more... thoughtful, some are more studious, some are more crazy. You know, I mean, they're all, I don't know, you could get different types, but I hate to generalize because really I found you can have a different audience in Amsterdam than you know, in Utrecht, and that's, you know, it's 30 minutes apart, and really it can be so different. The same way, you know, two cities in Italy, you know, 100 kilometers apart, it's a different world. So I hate to think of it that way. Even, you know, even two shows in Amsterdam when you're apart can be totally different. So
yeah. You don't have to come to our part of the country, because when people are dancing and liking the music, they only tap with their right feet, I guess.
Oh, really? Okay. So people are a little more reserved there? Or?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they are afraid to let them go, and only when they have a lot of beer at the end of the evening, okay, they will do some stage diving or crowd surfing.
Right,
and
right.
Okay, it's prohibited, but they do it also. But what do you expect this evening here in Amsterdam, in Paradiso?
I think it'll be a really good show. Amsterdam is always good for me. And I love playing here because I have a lot of friends here and close to here, and everybody always comes here. This always feels like the end of the tour party, even when it's in the middle of the tour, because everybody I know from all over. Tonight I have friends from Germany coming, friends from America, friends from Belgium, and of course friends from Holland all coming. So it's going to be a wild night, I think.
Okay, let's wait and see. I wish you much luck with your album, and I hope to hear from you soon. Thank you.
Thank you.